Father, as we pray unto you, as we give you thanks, we ask for your glory to manifest itself in the gospel and for your presence, your power, it might be felt. We thank you for what we have experienced, what we've heard, what we've seen from last night as the word was able to work inside of our hearts with power, with an understanding. And we pray that you may give light and knowledge, and that you would take all of the glory, that you would turn our eyes unto you, not to trust in ourselves, but in you, in Christ Jesus. Make your way, make your method clear, make your power plain. Draw men unto yourself and call them into the ministry as you see fit. Enable us to use our gifts for Christ's glory, and may our whole life bring him praise. It's for his name's sake, Father, we pray. Amen. Did anyone quickly have any questions about anything that we discussed from yesterday? Is there anything? Yes, sir.
Yeah, my question is in the book of Matthew chapter 28.
Yes.
Matthew 28 verse 18, where God says to him, his disciple, all authority on heavens and earth has been given to me.
Yes.
So as we see today, people are using their money or giving material to those who are going to preach the word of God to those who are dying in their sins. So I need more explanation about this. Is it go and make the disciple or to give something to those who are willing to go and preach the word of God to them?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, the text says, is to go ye therefore into all the world. Everyone cannot go. I'm crippled, I can't go. Each person has their own gifts. So each person is on the wall as an ambassador. Every Christian is a witness of the things I have seen and heard. And we'll discuss that even more in this message this morning. But every Christian is a partaker in the Great Commission prayer. Some preach, some by fasting often, some are able to give more. So the gift of preaching and of teaching is not something that is given unto every child of God. It's a special gift. I have set my watchman upon my wall. Ezekiel, I have made you a watchman. So this gift is a special gift that's only given unto a remnant of the saints, but all saints are gifted. And so every church ought to have all hands on deck. Everybody ought to be involved. And that is our job as pastors. Our job is not to suppress others, and then we only get to show ourselves. No, we don't want that. Is I want everybody's eyes upon Christ, everybody to experience the freedom of the gospel, the joy, and then to go out and to serve others. Our ministry back in California, we helped to plant a church that was built on street ministry. In fact, it's excellent weather there, so all of the meetings are outside. It's up under some trees, it's nice, it's in a park. And then every week, they're out preaching the gospel. This particular brother I'm with, his name is Larry Austin. His calling, his particular passion is the homeless people, it's the addicts. And so he'd be out on the street. He is a preacher, and he's a rapper. And so I would go with him, and I would preach, and he'd rap and exhort. But everybody in the church isn't going to have that gift or that calling. But it's been times this other sister can really sing well, almost like it's high quality singing. And so when she would stand up and sing, all the crowd would come. But as to what she's singing is pure gospel. And then as she sings, she speaks with the crowd. And then I come up and I preach. And then this brother's over here rapping, and he's spitting the gospel. And this other brother here is an Asian brother, and he doesn't speak much, but he's passing out tracts, and he's interacting with them individually. And I've never seen him happier in my life. So as each person, and then we do other ones, this other person is passing out food, but they're also, you know, sharing the gospel. So each person isn't able to hop on a plane and to become a missionary. It isn't in their calling. And you don't ever want to do something that you haven't been called to by God. It's a particular scripture. It's in the book of 1 Timothy, chapter number 2. We looked at this morning in the preacher's class, and I apologize. I was hoping to be here, but you understand, it was closed down. But in 1 Timothy 2, verse number 6 and 7, it says this: who gave himself, speaking of the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Every man is to, all kinds of men, each person who hears this gospel is to trust Christ. A testimony in due time is to be preached unto everybody in the world. For which Paul says, I was appointed a preacher. And so he didn't make himself a preacher. I can't make myself a preacher. No man can make himself a preacher. It would be a horrible mistake. It's the pressure. You just don't have that's what it takes. So just because I want to be, you know, 6 feet six, I can't make myself grow. So if you want to be a preacher, pray. And the answer comes from God. It doesn't come from your church. Doesn't come from your seminary. All that men can really do is approve of the gift that you already have. Men can train you, but they cannot make you a preacher. You can't make yourself. I can't make myself. It's ordained by God. It's a calling. And so I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. Paul was sent as to with those 12. He saw the resurrected Christ. All of these men now who claim to be apostles are only after titles. And they're only after positions that God has not given them. But to be an apostle, you had to see the resurrected Christ, Acts 1. And Paul said that he was last of the apostles. He saw him last. And there's just so much stuff that even in a month, it's going to be hard to even cover everything just in the basics. But you will be equipped with much more knowledge of the gospel. And I trust be able to go to God yourself and to get what's lacking. I'll just help you with the tools, and I'll point you in the right direction and help build the right foundation. But an apostle had to be sent by God. It isn't, I'm an apostle. That's madness. Paul saw Jesus alive from the dead. That was qualification. Acts chapter 2, 1 Timothy 2, verse number 7. I speak the truth in Christ and I'm not lying. He's utterly convinced, brother. He's sure. And this assurance is from God. It isn't from man. If you have to ask your mom if you're called to preach, you're asking the wrong person. If you have to ask the people, the mistake I made as a young pastor is I wasn't sure. But the people, I had planted a church, but the people said, it's you are the one. So as I went into the meeting and I had prayed to God, and my mind was, look, let's wait. Let's even bring in some other men to preach unto us. And let's see who God wants as the pastor. That's good wisdom. But then the people said, it's you. And I said, okay, because I wanted that position. But what I should have done was having a sense and to say, no, wait. Let him decide. It's a church in Abuja right now that is in transition. It is a Sovereign Grace church. But the pastor resigned some of his own issues. Good. It's fine. If a man has no calling, please resign. That's good news unto a church, right? But it's some other men there. And so what they're doing now is they're having votes as to who should be their leaders. And it's too quick. Just wait. As you know a few men that can preach and have character, let these men preach. Observe their leadership. Then when it's time, it's the people will know, hey, it's that guy. But even if the people know it's that guy, he still must hear from God. Because if I go into this battle and I'm not sure as to when things happen, instead of being able to run unto God with confidence, instead of me knowing I'm called, I'm going to try to carry stuff and handle it myself. Mm. And that's where failure happens. So he can't be a novice. He has to be persuaded by God. Don't run until you're sent. It's okay if a church has a whole pastor a whole year and there's three different men preaching and they're waiting on God in prayer. That would be better than to hold a vote, this guy wins, and the Almighty isn't in it. So assurance comes from asking God. And as you read these scriptures, like this morning again, we're going to be talking about, I have set my watchmen upon the walls, and they won't be silent. If you are a watchman, if you have been called, as the scripture speaks of a watchman, it's going to speak unto you with power. It will open your ears. If I look at Paul's calling, if I look at Samuel, at Ezekiel, at Moses, at Jeremiah, I see myself. That's how he calls me. Those scriptures speak into my heart. I understand them. I feel them. So that is something that is from God. It's only he can do. If he doesn't do it, have no shame in it. I love preaching, but I don't think that preaching is the highest calling of a Christian. I think the highest calling of a Christian is anything he's been called to by God. If I'm in a wheelchair and I can't talk and I can't preach, am I any less Christian? Am I any less saved? My gift is not as useful as a teacher is able to help so many people, but the gift of prayer is a pretty powerful gift. I can really move things. I can really, you know, bring the Holy Spirit down. So even if I can't talk, I can still be the strongest Christian in that church. Right?
Yes.
So it isn't a position, it isn't a title, it isn't coveting to, you know, be in the front. And often when men are called in Scripture, it could be Moses, it could be Jonah, it could be Jeremiah. They don't want the job. And it's a good sign often. But the Lord, He persuades them. If He has called you, it's He will not stop. This you must do. And if you're under a compulsion, you have no choice. That's good. Now just learn as to how to do it properly. But it's with conviction, it's with assurance, and it is to help everybody else to use their gift. It's the pastor ultimately wants them to be invisible and everybody see Jesus. It would be great if I could preach and be invisible and everyone could only see Jesus Christ. After the sermon's over, is you want to hear from your people them speaking of Christ, what they saw in the gospel, as to how their soul was set free, as to how they understand the scriptures, as the burden was lifted. As a pastor, if he's of God, isn't interested in this. Doesn't need it. If you're rejoicing in Christ, the Almighty God is doing this. I'm as happy as I could possibly be. So we want to help our people see Christ and be utterly selfless. Something else I was talking about this morning is that don't try to have any ambition but the glory of God and the good of the people in front of you. Like, it isn't my ambition unto have a huge hall of 1,000 people. If that is the door that God opens, I will walk through it. I'm to pray for usefulness. I'm not to say, I only want to speak unto 10, Lord. That's it. But if my point is this, I'm not in charge of or concerned with how many and how the people see me. I'm concerned with this relationship with God. This is all that matters. This. Then He's in charge of all this. As to whether we go left, right, straight, a big church, small church. Just because a man has a small church, it doesn't mean that he's unfaithful. It's been many missionaries that died. In West Africa, in Nigeria, I think it was the first 112 of the missionaries died. And then the ones who really penetrated at first was actually black Americans, ex-slaves, that were able to come into Liberia, into Sierra Leone, because in our blood it is we can handle malaria. I'm here for 4 years. I may have had a malaria twice in 4 years. And so I get it less than Nigerians. So this is what I'm here for. This is what I'm made. But if an Asian man or a European man came and he died here, that doesn't mean I'm more faithful. No way. Mm-mm. It's a man named John Payton. I was a missionary off the islands of Australia, Indonesia. And it was two ships, him and his wife were in the second ship. This other missionary and his wife were in the first ship. Upon the first ship lands, the missionary goes out, and the natives come, they hit him with a club, and they eat him on the beach. It's an open view. And so the second captain of the other boat said, "I'm not landing." And so Mr. Payton is pleading with the captain, "Land this boat." But the captain said, "No way." And so they went all the way back. And this, some months later, as he came back on that same place with his wife. Now, that's a strong woman in Christ. And I don't even know her name. But is he more faithful than her? I don't think so. They're in this as one, right? And so he preaches, and he has power, and he writes books, and there's 100,000 over years. It's 100,000 actual Christians there. But is he more faithful than the man that died and was eaten? As to whether I'm eaten is insignificant. What is significant is if I have a calling. And if I have a calling, I have a task. And I'm to go into my task in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the confidence of God, with the full assurance of faith. And I'm to do what God called me to do. If it's to preach in a jungle just unto 5 lepers the rest of my life, or if it's to preach to 5,000 people in a stadium each week, that's insignificant. It's only one thing required of a steward, is to be found faithful. And that is a life of peace. Because your eyes are on Christ and you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's an excellent question. I'm going to get into the text, and I can tell that as I'm speaking, it's a lot of scriptures that I want us to really be turning to. When I preach, I don't turn to a lot of scriptures. But here with you guys is I want you to see all over the Bible what the scripture says. And so let's open, please, into the book of Isaiah in chapter number 62. And we're here to learn. So if you have questions, ask them, please. But I answered your question, sir. Okay. It's Isaiah, chapter number 62.